The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
President Biden visits the UK ahead of this week's key NATO summit. Plus, deflation fears mount in China, while the U.S. contends with the long, potentially divisive battle in the quest to keep prices in check.
You'll have one camp saying, look, we've got inflation down without having to really crush the labor market. You could have other people saying, well, we're just one negative shock away from inflation going back up. And after all the work that we've done to bring inflation down, we can't stay here.
And a journal investigation unearths a hidden health hazard in miles of toxic lead cables abandoned across America. It's Monday, July 10th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. President Joe Biden has kicked off a four-day visit to Europe. He is in the UK today for meetings with Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and King Charles III before heading on to a key NATO summit in Lithuania. Wall Street Journal White House reporter Andrew Rastusha is traveling with the president, who he says has several priorities for this week's meetings as NATO attempts to maintain support for Ukraine and expand to include Sweden.
What you'll hear from the White House and the president and many other major NATO allies is the word unity. But below the surface, there are some simmering tensions, some simmering disagreements. One of the main ones is over Sweden's membership to NATO. Hungary and Turkey oppose that membership for separate reasons, but the gist of it is that they are standing in the way of Sweden entering. Biden is expected to meet with the Turkish president while he's there. He spoke with him last night on the phone. So that'll be a big push by the administration and by other members of NATO to try to make some progress on that issue. And separately, the idea of Ukraine joining NATO is also something that has divided NATO membership. President Biden, his position is that Ukraine is not at this point ready to join NATO. There's two reasons really for that. The main reason is sort of more of a technical reason that he argues that Ukraine needs to meet additional standards on democracy and other issues before they can meet the standards to join NATO. But more substantially, he's worried that Ukraine joining NATO would trigger what they call an Article 5 compulsion for NATO members to actively defend Ukraine in Ukraine against Russia. In other words, that it would start a much broader war, which could extend across Europe. And that is something that the U.S. and its allies have staunchly tried to avoid.
That was Journal White House correspondent Andrew Rastusha in London. After 2 months of meager growth, China's economy is showing new signs of losing steam. Consumer inflation dropped to 0% in June, according to the country's Statistics Bureau, while producer prices fell at their fastest pace in more than 7 years. The Journal's China economics reporter Stella Yifan Shia says the drop in prices is raising fears of a deflationary spiral.
China is in a really unique situation compared to countries like the U.S., where the fear is ongoing inflationary pressure. The worry for China, as many economists point out, is that once the deflation expectation becomes entrenched, it could send the economy into a downward spiral. And what's more, once these expectations get established, it will be very challenging for policymakers to break through the cycle and reverse that. China's central bank so far has cut a few key interest rates, but they haven't really shown appetite for launching large ticket government-led investments. And so I think that adds to the fear among economists and investors here that the economy can slip into further decline in prices in the coming months.
Earnings season is kicking off in earnest this week, with big U.S. banks reporting their results on Friday. Markets will be assessing whether U.S. companies can live up to the recent rally in stocks. Journal reporter Ben Dummett says that bull market is actually making investors increasingly nervous and is coming at a time when a rise in treasury yields is flashing warning signs. Ben, tell us what we should expect this coming earnings season, given some of the macro challenges it seems that U.S. companies are facing now.
Well, there's a number of them. Most importantly, there's this persistent inflation that is plaguing the markets and higher interest rates, which together are constraining consumer demand.
And yet, these earnings are coming off of a banner start to the year for U.S. stocks. Does that tell us anything?
Well, essentially what it says is the recession that so many economists have been anticipating hasn't materialized yet, and that's giving investors hope that markets will continue to climb. Still, last week, the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note, which rises when bond prices fall, topped 4%, and that was the first time since early March. And similarly, the yield on the 2-year note hit its highest level since 2007. So that's a worrying sign for investors and could weigh on sentiment.
Right, so that's a potential risk to investors then, and we see that playing out in expectations for this earnings season, do we not?
Yeah, that's right. And if you look at the earnings outlook, it's not particularly encouraging. Analysts expect companies in the S&P 500 to collectively report a drop of 7.2% in the second quarter from the year earlier period, according to FactSet. That would mark the steepest pullback since the second quarter of 2020, when the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic resulted in a 32% profit decline. Furthermore, the rise in yields is offering investors an alternative to stocks, which are typically safer than equities, and therefore that's also going to weigh on sentiment.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Dummett. Ben, thanks so much.
Thanks very much. I appreciate being here.
Coming up, are we there yet? America's inflation fight may be slowly nearing an end, but our chief economics correspondent Nick Timmerose says the final mile could take a long time to cover. We've got that story and more after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Want some good news on inflation? Well, thankfully, there's been a decent amount of it lately. The bad news, though, is that according to Journal chief economics correspondent Nick Timmerose, the long-awaited final mile of inflation is starting to come into view. When making further progress in containing inflation without triggering a recession becomes increasingly difficult. And Nick Timmerose joins me now to explain where we are in that inflation journey. Nick, what's the map showing you?
Well, we're getting there. So there's good news on inflation and there's bad news on inflation. The good news is that overall inflation is down substantially from a year ago. If you look at core inflation, which excludes volatile food and energy prices, you'll see that most of the decline has actually been because of energy prices. So core inflation hasn't come down very much this year, but it is likely to decline in the coming months, including in June. We will get on Wednesday the June Consumer Price Index, and it's likely to show that core inflation came down. And there are two big reasons why core inflation could start to come down. One is because housing costs, especially rents, rent growth has been slowing. So even though rents aren't declining, the rate of growth has slowed. But it takes time for those measures, because of how they're calculated, to filter into the actual inflation numbers. So we're going to begin to get that most likely this summer, and that'll provide relief on core inflation. The other reason has to do with the car market. Used car prices ticked up this spring, and usually before the pandemic, goods prices were either flat or they were falling. The Fed isn't going to be able to get close to their 2% inflation target if goods prices are going up. But if you look at what's been happening in the car market, there is more supply coming online. Production has been ramping up. And so even though price growth is still elevated, it's not as bad as it was. And so those two factors, housing and cars, should provide some help in terms of getting core inflation down.
I mean, on the flip side of things, where is inflation proving to be the stickiest?
Well, services prices are always stickier. They're less responsive to interest rate increases. Those sectors are less interest rate sensitive. So that was always going to be the challenge. But really, the surprise had been in the goods market and especially used cars. And so getting that to go in the right direction should help. I think the bad news here is that getting inflation all the way back to the Fed and other central banks' 2% targets will be harder if the economy is reaccelerating. That would make it harder for the Fed to reverse its tight monetary policy until the labor market weakens. So let's say we have some good news this summer and that gets core inflation down below 4%, down to say 3.5%, and maybe some of the 3-month annualized rates are closer to 3%. 3% is not 2%. It's still going to be above the Fed's target. The world might look better when we're talking about core inflation with a 3 in front of it than a 4 or a 5, but there's still going to be some debate about how you squeeze things out to get it all the way back. How hard do you try to squeeze the labor market? That's going to be potentially a difficult debate.
When it comes to that debate, the risk of tipping things into a recession if you're pushing too hard to fight inflation, I mean, how serious is that risk at present?
The question is going to depend on how much do you think the labor market and wage pressures are driving higher inflation. So Fed officials have anticipated housing and goods prices to help reduce inflation. They've been expecting that for months. So they've been placing greater attention on the rest of the inflation of core inflation, which is really services excluding housing. And there are some people who are saying, look, even though you might think that this is the labor intensive side of inflation, because things like haircuts and restaurant meals, a lot of what you're paying for is labor. But if you look at where inflation in the core services excluding housing has been highest relative to the pre-pandemic norm, what am I talking about? Well, car prices went up a lot. And guess what's going up right now? Car insurance costs are going up. Because if you wrecked your car last year, your insurance provider lost money because car prices were higher than car insurance companies had budgeted for. So they are jacking up premiums right now to compensate. You could argue that that's not really a labor-driven story, even though it's the core services excluding housing, which is supposed to be the more labor-intensive basket. And so I think that's a part of this that just kind of underscores how difficult that debate is going to be.
That was The Wall Street Journal's chief economics correspondent, Nick Timiraos, in Washington. We are exclusively reporting that over 2,000 toxic lead-covered cables remain spread across the United States, contaminating places where Americans live, work, and play. The U.S. has made progress in removing lead from common sources like paint, gasoline, and pipes. However, a journal investigation found that AT&T, Verizon, and other telecom giants have left a hazardous legacy of toxic cables underwater in the soil and on overhead poles. Risks associated with lead include behavior and learning problems and damage to the central nervous system in children, as well as kidney, heart, and reproductive problems in adults. Responding to the journal's report, telecom companies downplayed the contamination risks posed by their cables, citing other lead sources nearer to residences. That said, the companies and an industry group representing them said they would work together to address any concerns related to lead-sheathed cables. Recess is over. Members of Congress are returning to Washington this week with a lot on the agenda, including passing annual spending bills in order to keep the government open. That task became more complicated last month after Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy diverged from the terms of a debt ceiling bill negotiated with the White House, saying that spending levels needed to be returned to 2022 levels instead of staying roughly flat. Democrats have accused Republicans of reneging on the debt deal, and Senate Democrats are planning spending bills in line with that agreement. However, those bills will need to be reconciled with House spending bills by October 1st in order to avoid a government shutdown. And if your summer vacation plans included a trip to Disney World, it seems you may be in luck. That's because numbers at Disney theme parks are down this summer, resulting in shorter wait times and more discount offers. According to data from a travel company that tracks line waiting times, Independence Day weekend was one of the slowest in nearly a decade at Walt Disney World in Florida. Travel advisors and industry analysts say the slowdown is a sign that Disney's recent price hikes and changes in park operations have put some families off of visiting. Disney declined to comment on recent attendance. Revenue from its parks division has long been a bright spot for the company, buoying overall earnings. And finally, NASA is planning to send astronauts back to the moon for the first time in decades. And to do it, lunar geologists are getting some new threads. The next generation of spacesuits is set to be lighter, more flexible, and as NASA spacesuit engineer Amy Ross told our Future of Everything podcast, more high-tech in order to help astronauts collect samples in their efforts to unlock the moon's secrets.
They always are taking pictures of what they're seeing. They're making notes of what they're doing. They still want that, right? They need that to do their science. So how do you enable that while you don't want them to be carrying a pencil and writing in a notebook? And so, you know, what kind of augmented reality devices and interfaces with those devices can we give them in a spacesuit so they can do their jobs? And some of those ideas we can collect. And then hopefully that just feeds right back into what we have here on Earth as far as our tools. I mean, we all like our cell phones now, but can you imagine what we'll be able to do, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now?
And you can hear much more about how NASA is designing spacesuits for visiting the moon and Mars, as well as how that tech could help us back here on Earth on our sister podcast, The Future of Everything. And that's What's News for Monday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITheroes.